You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book What's Yours is Mine, Against the Sharing Economy by Tom Slee. Last show we were at the chapter, Ratings Do Not Discriminate. Start looking at ratings on Netflix, the ratings of movies and TV shows by Netflix customers. There's every reason to believe that most Netflix ratings are independent and honest. When you rate a movie, you can offer your opinion freely, having no reason to expect reward or punishment for any particular rating. You also have an incentive to give a rating that matches your actual opinion, as it enables Netflix to recommend movies that better match your tastes. It's possible to show graphs showing the distribution of ratings for a set of 100 million ratings that Netflix released for its Netflix Prize competition. The ratings are distributed among possible scores with a peak of about 3.5, so a rating of 4 or 5 is a pretty good rating, and Netflix ratings help us to discriminate between 1-star stinkers and 5-star favorites. Yelp is a rating site for restaurants and other small businesses. Each rating is made by an individual customer who may, interestingly enough, remain anonymous. Businesses do not choose to participate on Yelp. They are listed whether they want to be or not. The incentive for individual customers to rate their expertise is less obvious on Yelp than on Netflix, as Yelp does not yet provide personalized recommendations to the users of the site. Instead, Yelp builds on the idea of community to nudge users to provide reviews. If you use the Yelp application to get ratings, you may want to provide your own reviews as a contribution to improving the experience. Yelp recently made a data set of its own ratings available for use. It's possible to show a graph showing the distribution of ratings for restaurants, which is most likely reviewed classification on the site. The distribution is similar to that of Netflix, suggesting that Yelp reviewers rate restaurants in a similar manner to the way that Netflix reviewers rate movies. So what about sharing economy ratings? The distribution of ratings on Airbnb for a number of representative cities can be also shown in the graph. The distributions are quite different. Each is a so-called J-curve, where the bulk of the ratings are at very high values. Rating system designers typically see curves like this as a problem. Are there really so many excellent Airbnb experiences that there are excellent restaurants? Commonly suggested causes are filtering. Only customers with good experiences are rating the site. Or bias. Customers are being guided in their ratings by something other than the quality of the experience itself. Even more dramatically, The graphs show that the ratings distribution for a set of over 500,000 ratings that was collected by the author from the ride-sharing website Blah Blah Car, on which over 98% of the ratings are 5 stars. Ratings are not publicly available for Uber and Lyft drivers and riders, but both sites are known to deactivate drivers from the site if their ratings drop below a cutoff in the range of 4.5 to 4.7 out of 5 stars. So most ratings must be 5 stars out of 5 in these cases too. Similarly, newspaper articles suggest that the average ratings on Handy and HomeJoy are between 4 and 5. Even though sharing economy ratings are typically crammed into a small range, could be a 4.9 rating still indicates a better experience than a 4.7. All the evidence to date says no, it cannot. Even in rating systems with widely distributed ratings like Netflix, the relationship between an individual rating and the quality of user experience is murky. One of the results of the Netflix prize competition was that individual ratings turn out to depend on factors that have nothing to do with the movie itself. People tend to grade relative to the existing rating, so highly rated films tend to stay highly rated. The best competitors manage to compensate for these effects, but only in an environment where individual movies were getting millions of ratings, quite different from the sharing economy case. Despite the fact that the more expertise was poured into improving Netflix rating systems than any other, Netflix has moved away from using sophisticated rating algorithms to making its own recommendations. The fragile relationship between quality and ratings was confirmed in an experiment by 3 sociologists, Matthew Salganik, Peter Dobbs, and Duncan Watts, created an artificial music market in which over 14,000 participants listened to a set of songs they had never heard before and were asked to rate them. And they were given a chance to download the songs. The participants were split into 9 groups, and 8 of these groups were shown a single piece of rating information, how many times songs had been downloaded by others in the group. The ninth was not shown any download information. The experiment's conclusion was that even this form of rating influenced people's behavior. They were more likely to download songs that others had downloaded. Ratings led to a general inequality. Those which had been downloaded got downloaded more. But the set of popular songs was different for each of the groups, showing that download ratings did not provide a reliable guide to quality. The best songs rarely did poorly, and the worst rarely did well, but any other result was possible. In a sharing economy context, this means that early ratings influence how later ratings behave. A bad early rating may influence reputation far more than lower ratings. As ratings were compressed into smaller ranges, the already tenuous relationship between score and quality suffered further. As recent working papers studying accommodations listed on both Airbnb and on TripAdvisor concluded, overall, Airbnb and TripAdvisor reviewers exhibit little agreement. TripAdvisor and Airbnb ratings are only weakly correlated, with the relative rankings of properties varying to a significant degree across the two sites. The paper was a detailed and careful analysis that comes to the same conclusion about sharing economy ratings as did Wired magazine's Kat Kane, a regular Uber and Lyft customer. She admits that giving 5-star ratings after a white-knuckle ride, and her experience tells her that ratings are absolutely no indication of quality. Quote, I've ridden in the 4.7-star drivers who wear gloves and open passenger doors, and 4.7 drivers who couldn't pass a road test. Together, these studies confirm that reputation systems fail in their basic task of distinguishing high-quality or trustworthy offerings from lower-quality and untrustworthy offerings. There's no evidence that an Uber driver or a handy cleaner with a rating of 4.9 or better is in any way or compared to someone with a rating of 4.6. Sharing economy reputation systems are now broken. The influential idea that these systems can be relied on in situations where bad behavior can have serious consequences is simply magical thinking. The system designers are so wrapped up in the elegance of the software that they are convinced it will work, and too many journalists are bowed over by the promise of something novel. Reputation systems are no substitute for regulation. Instead, they are a substitute for a company's management structure, and a bad one at that. A reputation system is the boss from hell, an erratic, bad-tempered, and unaccountable manager that may fire you at any time for anything on a whim with no appeal. J-curve distributions, like those of the sharing economy reputation systems, show up whenever people rate each other. By far the most widely studied reputation system in which customers and service providers rate each other is the eBay system. In its early years, buyers and sellers rated each other on a simple scale of positive, neutral, or negative, and each would see how the other rated them. In some studies, as much as 99% of all ratings on eBay were found to be positive. And researchers suggest that this extreme J-curve is evidence of bias. For example, quote, the fact that from 742,829 eBay users who received at least one feedback, 67% had a positive percentage of 100%, and 80.5% had a percentage positive of greater than 99%, providing a suggestive support for the bias. An early explanation for bias on the eBay system was fear of retaliation. If you give a bad review and the target retaliates by giving you one in response, then your own reputation takes a big hit. Why take the risk? eBay has made a number of attempts at removing the threat of retaliation, for example, not allowing sellers to raid buyers, for example, to improve the experience for the marketplace as a whole. But the very high proportion of positive reviews remains nevertheless. There is more to high ratings than fear. While Yelp is primarily rating sites for restaurants, it also covers other kinds of small businesses. And the rating distribution for hairstylists can be shown in a graph. Even though there is no fear of retaliation here, the ratings form a clear J curve. Some have suggested that this is because when we deal with other people, especially when we have a relationship over time, norms of everyday courtesy make us reluctant to criticize in public. We will often behave like Forbes writer Jeff Berkovici when he rated his Uber driver. Quote, I took a ride in a car as grimy and musky smelling as a typical yellow cab. The driver was friendly and knew his way around, but he was clearly falling short of Uber's high standards that the sedans in its Uber X fleet be in, quote, excellent condition, unquote. Since customer feedback is important to the ensuring of high-quality experience, according to the company, when it came time to rate my trip, I gave the driver only 3 out of 5 stars. Just kidding. I actually gave him 5 stars, of course. What do you think I am, a psychopath? Unquote. A norm of courtesy applied to market transactions It is customary to express thanks at the conclusion of many exchanges. Even the screen vending machine at my workplace shows, quote, "Thank you and enjoy your beverage" when I fill a mug of coffee. Guest books at bed and breakfasts and at museums are filled with polite and appreciative comments. The positive rating at the end of an eBay exchange is not so much an assessment, honest or dishonest, but rather it is just a courtesy. Stronger norms apply to more personal exchanges. We feel free to talk critically about impersonal market transactions to third parties. Nobody thinks it's impolite to say, "I didn't enjoy that movie." But when it comes to personal relationships, it is impolite to badmouth someone in public without at least trying to solve the problem privately at first. Don't kiss and tell. And if you have nothing good to say, say nothing at all, your mom teaches you, are two ways this norm is expressed, but there are others, of course. Managers are told to, quote, "praise in public, criticize in private." To do otherwise puts people in a position of being shamed and leads to a flight or fight reactions. When groups get into trouble, their norms to not be a splitter, a rat, a snitch, a tattletale. Reputation systems present a rosy picture of the sharing economy as Lake Wobegon, in which everyone is a nicer than average because people underreport bad experiences. A study of the eBay reputation system showed that about 1 in 5 of all eBay transactions led to some level of dissatisfaction, but that people tend to follow the maxim of, quote, "if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all," unquote. Dissatisfied eBay customers give not a bad rating, but often no rating at all. Keeping a system that has overwhelming number of visible high ratings creates an atmosphere in which customers are likely to book and provides a veneer of familiarity for people used to doing business on Amazon and Netflix.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC. But it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. What's yours is mine. Against the Sharing Economy by Tom Slee. We're continuing with our examination of the impact of evaluations of services in the sharing economy. Fortunately for sharing economy companies, trusting strangers is not always as perilous as hype would suggest, and we know this in our daily lives. Wired magazine may run a story with the title, quote, "How Airbnb and Lyft actually got Americans to trust each other," unquote. But the truth is that Americans and others have been trusting each other for centuries. Trust is a problem only if there's a really incentive to behave badly, which is why trusting strangers is commonplace. When we get lost, we ask strangers for directions and trust their answers. Why would they lie? When I look up that date that Henry the Fourth died on Wikipedia, I trust the answer again because why would someone lie? Even when there is an opportunity to take advantage of others, most people are decent most of the time. Shop assistants give us the right change without us having to micro-examine each coin. People buy and sell through Craigslist, Kijiji, and classified ads without any reputation system to help them. For decades, people hitchhiked, and almost all of these rides were safe. The headlines that express surprise about, quote, letting a stranger into your house are overly dramatic. We let plumbers, furnace repair people, and cleaners and other service providers into our homes and apartments routinely without a second thought. Taxi drivers let strangers into their cars all the time, and we get in the car with taxi drivers who are strangers. And when things don't go perfectly, we sigh and move on. If the shop assistant was grumpy, if the plumber turned up late, if the bus driver stopped and starts too suddenly, it's not that important in the big scheme of things, we say to ourselves. Aside, I traveled from the UK to Canada, my first ever plane ride as a naive 21-year-old in 1981, planning to fly into New York and take the bus through Buffalo. On the plane, I got talking to another young man who invited me to spend the night with him and his mother in Queens before sending me on the next day when we packed lunch. What a wonderful introduction to a new continent. I'm a middle-aged white man, and not everything is so rosy for others. Things go badly, both in the sharing economy transactions and our dealings with strangers. And individual examples of extreme trust violations are felt across whole new industries. But reputation systems are the wrong tools to cope with occasional extreme violations of trust, as they rely on accumulations of feedback over time to present their ratings. When things go badly wrong, customers do not want to post a 3-star review. They want to direct line to the company itself, and too often this is not always available. Uber has had an F rating from the Better Business Bureau at some points in time, primarily because of its persistent failure to respond to legitimate customer complaints. Airbnb had to set up a safety division when guests trashed the apartment of San Francisco host EJ in June 2011 and stole her jewelry, her hard drive, her passport, and her credit cards. It continues to have its share of scandals, some of which make the press, many of which don't. The headlines tell the stories, quote, hookers turning Airbnb apartments into brothels, unquote. Quote, Airbnb renters who trashed Calgary House used fake credit cards to fuel parties. Airbnb host Lev violated after busting fanny pack clad male prostitutes in her apartment. Nightmare Palm Springs Airbnb renter refused to leave. And even more seriously, Airbnb flat owner jailed for raping U.S. tourists and more. Such events cannot be flagged ahead of time by a reputation system. Although, to be fair, the very positive reviews for one set of guests who turned out to be using the apartments for prostitution, did contain the enigmatic and yet revealing comment. It is very difficult to clean up the oil marks. The curious can find extensive collection of generally less dramatic and less substantiated cases at http://www.airbnbhell.com. Uber has had more high-profile scandals than Airbnb, with cases of assault, both driver and passenger and vice versa, threats, hacked user accounts, and accidents. The company's responses to these events always to emphasize their rarity, but rare events can change the practice for good. Rates of hitchhiking in the UK, for example, plummeted in the 1990s in the wake of two highly publicized murders, even though the danger to any individual hitchhiker remained very low. When an Indian woman sued Uber in India after being raped by her driver, the city of Delhi banned Uber for failing to carry out inadequate driver checks. Terrible things happen to people in hotel rooms and taxis too. But there is a mechanism to hold hotels and taxi companies responsible for these events. And that mechanism provides a lever that can improve safety over time. Sharing economy platforms retreat behind the language of their terms of service agreements to claim that they have no legal responsibility for any of these events. Press coverage is too often the only method to force them to take some positive steps. Missing reviews continue to be a thorn in the side of the reputation system of designers and companies. In July 2014, Airbnb tried to encourage more critical reviews by holding back the publication of reviews until both parties have submitted a review of the other. Neither the company nor the researchers with access to the company's data have commented on the success of this significant change. In another experiment, Airbnb staff were working with external researchers to test whether offering a reward to encourage reviews has any effect on the number of critical reviews that guests provided. Other efforts were trying to squeeze more critical information from what was already there. Airbnb is using natural language processing to parse critical comments from the review texts. Researchers have shown that taking missing reviews into account can give a much more effective measure of seller quality. The problem with such efforts is that if systems were changed so that missing reviews or passive-aggressive text comments were known to be recorded and so became implicitly a negative review, customer behavior may change to avoid the threat of a negative or non-review in return. So, in the next show, we're going to look at the subject of if ratings are actually a form of surveillance. So thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you in next shows.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
Hello, everybody. My name is Florentina, and I'm joined today by Peter Thompson, one of the co-authors for a recent study titled The Changing Status of Imperiled Species in British Columbia, which examines current trends in BC's efforts in protecting endangered species. Peter, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Florentina. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I mean, before diving into this paper, would you mind introducing a little bit about yourself?